Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Before we get to this week's episode of The Walking Dead, I have received a large amount of abuse now about my views on Godless in the last couple of weeks.
Oh, wow.
Much of that has come from participants of this podcast, the ones you can hear rubbing their hands together now. But also strangers have walked up to me in the street, thrown poo at me.
Nice.
A colleague at work, new time listener, Nikki, big shout out, loves the podcast. Doesn't agree with my opinion on Godless. And
high five, Nikki.
And, yep. Time magazine ran a feature called "How I'll Talk Shit," which I thought was a bit harsh. I want to say that I respect your views, but it ain't just me. An email has arrived. Are you ready, boys?
Oh, there we go.
Dear Howell and Jamie, and less so Matt, already.
What? Like,
I thought I'd defend the fact that people with patience can also criticise the pace of Godless. Here are two reviews. Josh Bell of the Las Vegas Weekly, great magazine, newspaper.
Did you write this under a pseudonym?
Yeah.
Because instantly they're already quoting sources I don't care about.
Josh Bell of the Las Vegas Weekly states, "The thrilling final battle is masterfully staged. It takes far too long to get there, though."
Spoilers.
With entire...
I mean...
Well, we all know it's game for a battle. I haven't seen it yet, and even I know it's going to end with a battle. Will you just let this backup of me be read, please? "It takes far too long to get there, though, with entire episodes in the middle of the series that seemingly could have been removed entirely." Furthermore, Chris Cabin of Collider.
Because who cares why they're having the battle?
Well-known website, Collider, sums up what Howell meant by it being an awesome-looking show but having higher standards. He says, "The only major issue with Godless as a thoughtful and engaging entertainment is that you're constantly aware that it could have been so much more than that."
Ugh, what there a are, BS!
There are many more reviews, and I thought it important that Howell receives some defence, which is non-personal. Thank you. Yours, Jeff from Seattle. Jeff.
Oh, Jeff.
Well, thank
of course
you.
He's called Jeff.
Did you say he's from Seattle?
And now they're going to turn on Jeff.
You say he's from Seattle?
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, that just makes sense of all of it, doesn't it?
Amazing.
Jeff from Seattle.
Listen to this.
Clearly.
I've never been to Seattle or have any opinions on Seattle, but I'm assuming if you're from Seattle, you must be some kind of wanker.
So sorry. So sorry for this abuse. Let's do the podcast. Welcome to the Boxer
sorry,
Pod.
Jeff.
Walking Dead Season 8 Social. No, special. I've written that down wrong, and I even read it out.
It's The Walking Dead Social.
Tonight, we talk about episode 11, and there will be many spoilers. Listen when you've watched. I'm Howell, this is Jamie and Matt.
Hello.
It's fair to say that whilst we disagreed on some details of the first couple of episodes of the second half of Season 8, generally, it's been a little problematic, much room for debate, with some interesting solutions raised last week, I thought, from everybody, about how the episodes could have been paced or placed better in order. I must start with this. If my co-host hated this episode, we will have to stop arguing and just try and listen to and understand each other, because I loved it. I'm a big fan of this episode. Your reaction?
I'd say it's a good episode, yeah. I'd say it's got a lot of interesting plot strands going on, and I enjoyed them all individually and as a whole, so I have no issue. It was a strong episode,
Matt,
definitely.
Strong?
Sure.
I feel like you're saying that reluctantly, Matthew. Like,
I
need
just
some
heard
more
a
cheese.
Fence post go up Matthew's arse as he said.
I don't know. You know, it was weird last night. I don't know whether it was the fact that I wasn't watching it with Han, I was watching it by myself, or whether it was the episode or just me. I don't know. But it was the first time in ages that I found my mind wandering during the show.
Yeah, that's
and. I was texting and
you sound like Howell with his attention deficit disorder.
I know, role reversal.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'll tell you what it is, and I was thinking about this just now while I was eating my cheese. I feel like there are lots of things going on, but I don't. Everything feels very disparate at the moment.
Now, it's interesting you say that, because I'll tell you, the series that I didn't like that much, was it season four when they're all lost after the prison and they're making their way to the sanctuary? You know, they're all separate places in the bush.
Okay.
I didn't like that very much.
Do you mean
much.
When they're making their way to Terminus?
Sorry, Terminus, yeah.
Yeah.
But this episode was similar to that series in that you go into these things, but somehow much better, I thought. I thought the direction was really good, really great, and you felt like you were... Whereas in that series, it was like kind of aimless. They were debating whether or not to go to the Terminus, but at the same time, a lot of them didn't know about that, and they were just miserable, holding a baby and kids shooting each other, all of that stuff. Whereas with this one, everyone kind of had a clear objective or a point to what they were doing. And I just thought right from the off, right, the first shot, we were kind of, it was almost like a Vietnam film shot. You know, it was all undercover. It was all in the jungle and very, just really nicely paced and a bit like what a horror film, you know, when The Walking Dead's great, I think it's when it's horror plus one, when it's a bit smarter and a bit cleverer than the average sort of zombie thing. And this one had all those computer game things, you know, walkers popping up out of the mud, all of that. Felt like we were going back. Walkers were scary again. Felt like we'd gone back to the zombies being the threat to people because we're under the trees.
Right.
I just thought the writing's great.
And there was definitely that kind of palpable sense of overriding tension, which maybe we haven't had for a while. I don't know. It's always felt like everything's been kind of all out.
Yeah, yeah. It's been about this massive... You know those puzzle games that you arrive in like a haunted mansion or in a room and you've got to sift through the clues? There are apps and old-style computer games and stuff, or puzzle books.
Sure.
I've realised that when I like The Walking Dead best, and what I never get bored of is when they're scavenging and they're finding new places like that. So just like Gabriel in this one, although I've got some criticisms of Gabriel's bits, it was like coming across a house and seeing what's in the house and who's in the house. And whenever they do that, that's when I think the world is... That's never boring, and the world could carry on forever like that, because you're looking at like people's pasts and things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that you're right in some respects, Matthew. It's a good episode when it's at its best, it's focused and it concentrates on characters, and it feels like you've got these situations developing and with a tension within them. My problem with the war in general is, my problem with the fighting a war during a zombie apocalypse doesn't feel that much different from just surviving during a zombie apocalypse. The two things feel pretty miserable and pretty much the same, where you're just kind of, you know, jumping from place to place trying to find some kind of ammo and food. There isn't that much different in that difference in that respect. So it doesn't always work as a tension device. But when it's just focused on, you know, you've got the two individuals, you've got the man of science and you've got the man of faith trying to find a way to the hilltop. And you've got Dwight and Tara and this tension of she wants to kill him, but should she kill him? And he wants to be a good guy now. And I think the character of Dwight's journey, I'm really enjoying. I'm enjoying the character of Dwight. I think he's an interesting character, way he's developed. And now his story and his journey is really becoming fascinating.
Yeah. And now he's sacrificed himself, because one of the ways out of him having to be killed in this, and he keeps saying it, doesn't it? He keeps saying, I know this is going to end for me, I know that you're going to have to kill me after all of this. It seems like a really heavy-handed thing to do if you really are going to end up killing Dwight. I think we're trying to, more so than Negan even, we're trying to convince the audience that we should let him live. And I'm up for it. I'd keep him.
I don't know, man. I mean, that image of the crossbow bolt coming through Denise's eye is still pretty pretty heavy. And lest we forget, that's Merritt Weaver.
That's right. That's right. And then she had to go and bloody godless.
He shot her through the eye when she was fucking happy. Yeah. For the first time in ages, she just found her courage.
Valid point. Valid
it was
point,
one
Matt.
Of the most shocking moments in The Walking Dead, and it stayed with me because I was just like, "You motherfucker!"
Yeah.
So, are you? Would you kill him then? Would you kill him, Matthew?
After burning the other side of his face.
Oh, my God. You are brutal.
Damn right.
Wow. Wow, that's dumb.
And I like what you said about fighting a war in a zombie apocalypse. It's almost like trying to solve a murder mystery on the Titanic, you know? you sort of go, it's good, but are you trying too hard with all this? And in that vein, this episode, the sort of hunting around is what I would have loved for the first half of this series. You know, instead of feeling the need to come straight in with... Do you remember that the first episode of this series, we were saying it was very A-team straight away. There was no planning to the war. It was just like, boom, we're at Negan's door. And it was the need to have like fast action as the cold open and straight into the new series. Well, I would have loved it to have built like this in the way that they have done in the past. And just had them having to find their way to the sanctuary. Rick figuring out where it is, all of that. They could have really done something with that.
I don't want to keep harping on about this, but it really is. It sounds like you're talking directly opposite to the point you've made at the start of the episode.
What was that?
Like you're saying you want lots of exposition.
No, it's not exposition. This isn't exposition.
And a minute ago you said you wanted backstories and things like that. It's just
I didn't say that.
No, you did.
No, I didn't. Yeah. This isn't exposition. This episode is not exposition. This episode is finding things. It's plots moving forward. Every scene, something new happens.
Is it? I mean, you know, Daryl and that made it to the hilltop this episode.
There we go. They made it.
What else happened?
Well, every scene, something happened. So Daryl and that lot were by the pond and he said, "Don't shoot Bernie Face." He walked off. She tried to shoot, chased him. There's a chase. There's stuff happening. We're not standing around talking about our past or anything.
Can we focus a little bit on the battle between science and faith for a second? Because did anyone find it a little bit? And I know it was sad as well when the doctor died. Yeah. But it was a little bit funny.
So if we go, if we work backwards against what I've just said about how great the writing is and the horror thing. It's that horror trope was... I mean, they didn't even try and disguise it, did they? Of like, literally, line for line, Gabriel would go, "Do you have hope?" He would say no, accidentally knock a piggy bank over, and there'd be some keys in it, and he'd say, "What about now?" And they did it, like, four times, right up until, "Do you have hope now?" "Yes," shot in the face. And it's line for line.
It is a perfect comedy setup, isn't it? It really is.
Yeah, which, again, just made me go, like, the rest of the episode, I don't feel like it did it so obviously, but with a B plot like that, they go into this subplot, and it although it feels like a long time, if you added up their total screen time, it'll actually be really short. So you'll go to Gabriel for a maximum of a minute. So they're trying to tell all that within a minute. But then you just start going, oh, you're whacking us around the head with the morality a bit too obvious.
Do you feel like they're setting up for the saviors to kind of implode from within?
Yes.
Because there's a lot of skullduggery going on, isn't there?
Yeah, in fact.
Dwight's back in the fold. Yeah. Eugene let I can't think of anything to call him other than Carver. What's the reverend's name?
Gabriel.
Eugene let Gabriel go, and now there's that kind of lie that's working underneath there about what actually happened. And you've got Mustache Man is all riled up and angry.
Going against Negan. He's shot all the bin dippers when he wasn't asked to.
Eugene's got his own place now.
Yeah.
And, I can see...
You bang on, Matt.
Do you think Eugene is going to redeem himself?
Yes, absolutely. Whatever's going on in that armaments factory is going to be awesome. You've now got...
I think he's going to make a load of bullets, but he's going to make a bunch of duff bullets, a bunch of blanks.
The question.
Oh, interesting.
Maybe, but you've got to remember, Gabriel will now blame himself for the doctors, right? I wouldn't be surprised if Gabriel had a crisis of confidence. So what you then get is Eugene, who is always in a crisis of confidence, but we feel like has made a decision to be on the right side, and it might be his job to persuade Gabriel. Essentially, we've set up the blind leading the blind, haven't we? Gabriel is going to be sat there completely blind, and Eugene will have to... there'll be something going on there. But they, of course, putting those two together is like putting two sides of the same team in the same jail cell and walking off.
Yeah.
So something's got to happen there. And Matt, I saw a teaser for next week's episode, and what you just said, I think, appears to be true. You end up Bernie Face and Moustache Face in a car together, and both
fantastic.
Of them are kind of going against Negan in some way, so the right. General's turning, you know. By the way, didn't I tell you that it would be a Daryl-heavy episode this week? Thank you. I predicted that.
Well, you know, yeah, and I do hope it's a Sanctuary-heavy... yeah, congratulations, Daryl. I'm interested in the Sanctuary. I think you're right, Matt. There's real tensions brewing there, and they're doing it in a more subtle, in a nicely subtle way, in some respects. And I think that I want to spend even a couple of episodes just exploring the power dynamics in that Sanctuary, because it's getting interesting. It's cooking.
This was one of the first episodes.
Pretty interesting.
This was one of the first episodes without Rick that I ever didn't miss Rick. I thought, oh, I'm all right with him not being in this. Right. Normally, I'm kind of really conscious that they're keeping us away from Rick, but this was, I thought, really good. You know, when we were at the Hilltop, when we went to the Hill, let's go to the Hilltop now.
Yeah.
When it was, I think, is that Maggie's first appearance in this half of the series?
I think
it is. So Maggie walks over and we've got...
Actually, no.
Oh, is it
didn't not? We see her sending the dead guy in a coffin?
Oh, perhaps.
Or was that end of last series?
End of last series. Anyway.
By the way, still no baby bump. Which
I know. When is Maggie going to start showing?
It's ridiculous. She shouldn't be fitting into those jeans anymore. Really.
I never get a good sense of how long things take in The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
I mean
3 days since.
How long do you think it's been since Glenn died?
I'm thinking months, maybe.
Like 1 month? Or 3 months? What do you think?
I was thinking 3 months. I was thinking more like 2 to 3 months.
Well, I'm not sure about that, because the whole of season 7, Negan whacks him on the head. And then you actually could track the series, because he says, I'm coming to see you next week, doesn't he? It's based on his rounds. And I've got a feeling we never sort of jump past a few of those rounds and go...
I think it could be as little as 2 months between the start of series 7 and now.
Maybe less, I think. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blimey.
So there you go for slow. But anyway, so we see Maggie. She walks over to scumbag Gregory. He's on the other side of the little fence. And Gregory's in there with all the saviours. Was anyone else's first thought when you saw them in there and they were asking her to be let out? Did anyone else wonder where they do their poos?
No.
No, it didn't really.
That was
I assume some kind of bucket.
I immediately thought it, and as I was thinking it, my wife said, where do they do the poos?
Well, so, I mean, sewage is one of the great modern inventions. And underrated.
That's right.
Underrated.
That's right.
And I think, maybe we don't see enough about what they do with their sewage in The Walking Dead.
I agree. And the less important question is, would you let
It's going to be
out?
Slop runs, isn't there?
Who's on slop runs? Jamie.
I'm not doing that. That's not my job in the apartment.
Jamie is a slop captain.
That's right. That's how you'd get him to do it. You'd give him the title of captain.
I am not the turd wrangler of the zombie apocalypse.
In a zombie apocalypse, Jamie is Captain Turd.
So, I tell you what, I'd survive, though. I'd bloody survive.
Rear Admiral Slop Handler.
He changes title every couple of months because it makes him feel important. He carries on with it. Would you let them out? Would you let them out of their cage?
God, no.
No. I'd shoot the long-haired guy and let everyone else out. he's not the dodgy long-haired one.
You know, I think actually in that world, that is probably the best thing to do.
Yeah. Get rid of him. I mean, he's so clearly evil.
Like, yeah, all you want to do is you get Maggie and Jesus and whoever else is in charge over there, Enid. They all sit down and they go, all right, what do we do about these prisoners? They say, I just hate that one.
Yeah.
He keeps talking shit and he keeps slagging me off and he keeps acting like we can't do anything. Let's just kill him and I reckon everything else will be hunky-dory.
His eyes are too close together. He clearly looks like a snake.
And he's just constantly an arsehole.
Yeah, he is. He's an actual arsehole, so let's just get rid of him and great. Let's have a party. Morgan annoys me every time I see him, more and more.
Morgan, I'm so up in my tension.
That was quite a good impression, man.
Yeah, that's my American accent.
I got it clear. Can't do it no more. One thing that occurred to me this week is, like, everything's so shit at the moment. Mm. And I don't understand why everyone feels compelled to stay in Georgia.
Yeah. I mean, at some point, surely they can leave that area.
Just go, yeah. Because, you know, wouldn't that be a simple solution? Just like, all right, let's just call time on this place.
It's shit. No one suggested it. Yeah, no one has even suggested, like, when they're talking about, oh, should we go to war? Should we take on the saviors? No one's actually gone, why don't we just get the cars and leave this part of the country? Because America's huge.
I wonder what San Francisco's like round about now. Alcatraz, there's a place to go. Shoot everyone who's a zombie.
I mean, that's a long way away from Georgia.
I suppose so. I know that when they do these filmings, often when they pick a location for as long as this, it's because of the tax breaks that are offered. And I think I've heard that what can often happen is it can really ruin a place. Like, they take over a place and then ultimately they have to sort of bring a tax in and they move on. So maybe they will move on. Maybe they'll.
Well, yeah, a lot of stuff is shot in the Carolinas and Georgia.
You know, you never know. They might leave Georgia, and everyone else might be fine. might be like, "Oh, right. you've dealt with that, have you?"
It does make me wonder. I mean, like, I would be interested to see what their take on New York is like in this sort of time,
in the comics,
a big city like Washington.
In the comics, the setup is that it's Georgia has been quarantined. There's a fence around Georgia. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hang on, what?
Whoa, Howell, that sounds like a major...
Did you just spoil the fucking comics for me?
Could have spoiled the whole thing for you there, mate.
That's quite a big big plot point, isn't it?
How do you know that? You've never read the comics, you fucker, honestly. You've just read an article about the comics.
Clever,
and then just started blurting it out.
Well, this is true. But we know that in this universe that isn't the case, because Fear the Walking Dead is based in LA and Mexico and all sorts. So it's a worldwide epidemic.
Is it this
universe? Yes.
How are they going to cross over Morgan? How did he make it over to the West Coast?
I don't know. Maybe the helicopter will have something.
Maybe Janice's helicopter.
Or maybe that's why this lame-ass helicopter that they've given no attention to. Maybe that's why, because it's just a frigging get-out for Morgan. Crazy-ass Morgan ending up in there like Mad Murdock.
Every time I think of that helicopter, I get more annoyed about it, because it makes me think of Lost.
Right, but
that is the kind of shit that would get pulled in Lost.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they'd be doing something one week and then there'd be a random yak I somewhere.
Keep, whenever
and
I
it's
talk
like,
to
why
people...
is no one talking about this yak?
Yeah.
Whenever Where did the yak come from?
What's the... It's like I said last week, I keep asking people, like, have I missed something? Or am I right in thinking we've seen the helicopter fly over Rick's head once and then we've heard Simon say, what's with the helipad out the back? And nothing else. He hasn't even told Negan. What?
I think that it's likely one to plant these seeds, but all they do is irritate you with these little, like, flashpoint, and you just go, just tell us.
Whereas,
just come on.
For me, this episode is exactly what The Walking Dead should be and can be for a long time.
Well,
it was nice.
Well, let's mark it. Mark it, dude. Let's go through it.
Okay. Oh, and by the way, I saw a Forbes review saying it was nearly as bad as the first half of season 8. No, Whoa. I say. No. It was great. Anyway, okay. Well, we're marking it. Is that it? We dealt with everything.
I think we covered the majority of stuff.
I will say I wasn't as in love with it as you were.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do feel like the direction of it is getting a bit nebulous. It's just like you kind of take it for granted that everything is at conflict and you can kind of do what you want within that. And it's all getting a bit like the good thing about last series was, and particularly the first few episodes, was it was punchy and it was like all going in one direction. It felt all very organized and like people knew what was going on and we knew what was going on. And now it's all a bit kind of like, I don't really know where we're headed. I don't know where people are. I don't have a good sense of what's going on anymore.
I just feel like they overdid it. And there's just, they suddenly found themselves in the middle of an action movie with so many characters. And they're having to trim the herd now and try and get back. And you might be right about the direction in that sense, but my compliment of the direction in this is that there wasn't one point in this episode when I thought, other than maybe the view out of Gabriel's eyes, which was a bit funny, other than that, there was no directorial pretentiousness in this one. There was no shots like the slow-mo shots of people's faces and all those weird poncy things where you're aware that a decision's been made in an edit suite.
Those were weird.
Yeah, this episode seemed to be camera with the action, which, you know, was nice. The whether the writing's going where you want it to, I don't know, but I just thought it was a lovely... it just did the job. It did the job without any sense of pretentiousness, which I really like, because, you know, like in Godless, things can get a bit pretentious. Where's it going next week? Back to Rick and Negan.
I reckon we might see a bit more of Eugene next week.
Okay.
But yeah, we'll see Rick again.
Any predictions, Jamie? Jamie's gone. Jamie?
Oh, they never heard from him again.
He muted himself while he has his tea.
He's just stuffing his face with beans.
Well, I'll tell you what, just in case you can hear us, Jamie, we'll rate the episode. What are you giving it, Matt? Just talk me through it. Where did you end the last one? I can't remember.
I was at about 7.5, I think, after the end of the last one.
Yeah, the only way is down for you, I think, on this one.
No, I think I maintained, I guess.
Okay, that's good.
Because my base rate is pretty high with this, and this was, I think, a little bit subpar. Yeah. So maybe I'll say I finished up at a 7.
Okay. Well,
but there was the added buoyancy of not having to deal with any bin dippers.
Oh, sweet, sweet bin dippers.
It's like the end of a stressful morning and you think, oh, I'm done with that.
Yeah. Phew. Yeah. Okay. I ended like 4 last week, so I'll whip myself straight up to join you on a 7.5. And I'll say that I wobbled around from there to a good 8, 8.5 maybe. Maybe even a 9. This reminds me of the days...
Wow, that's as high as you've been in the entire series.
Yeah, well, it reminds me of the early series of being able to just go, okay, let's wander around this universe, instead of, okay, let's sit and wallow or go to some massive scale or whatever. It's nice.
Yeah.
Future. Jamie, are you back? No.
No.
Let's just... To say goodbye.
I can tell you what. While we give Jamie a few minutes to gather his shit together, can I do some any other business?
Yeah.
I was thinking the other day, we never check back in on stuff, and I wondered if you had happened to watch any more of either The Punisher or Altered Carbon.
No and no. Yes, watched another one of Punisher. And no on everything else, purely because we have been binging The Crown and love it. So
that is a poor excuse, because we did The Punisher before Christmas.
Oh, he's back.
Hi.
What happened to you?
Oh, man, my phone went weird. I think I need a new phone. Where were we? Punisher, watched it all. Altered Carbon, yes, as well.
Great. Well done.
Had you watched all of The Punisher when we talked about it? I can't remember.
Yeah, I had, actually, yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, nothing gained there.
Been busy.
Oh, no, I hadn't. No, I hadn't. No, when we first talked about it.
I didn't think you had. I thought you were a few episodes in, yeah. And did you enjoy it in the end?
Did indeed. It's a lot better than the other Marvel bunf. that's around Isn't these it, days. Yeah,
and of course, I brought this up because Jessica Jones Series 2 has just been released.
Yeah, I tried starting that. I'm probably going to give it a chug, but I'm missing. I liked David Tennant in the last series, so that's.
I know. He was good, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a great bad guy. Hard to follow.
He's so rock and
roll.
You liked
Jessica Jones series once, didn't you, Howell?
I didn't. We only watched episode one of that as well. It was Daredevil's the closest I've got. And I enjoyed Daredevil. It was good.
What? I thought you were all over David Tennant.
Nope. Didn't watch it. It was Jamie. Jamie loved him.
Well, I'm balling you all in as one, like, kind of. Pair of northern socks.
Yeah, racism. So, that's that. Jamie, we didn't get your rating for this episode. By the way, has anyone bought a T-shirt yet? T-shirts.
No.
Don't forget.
I'm not going to buy a T-shirt.
You should. They're great T-shirts.
That's for the masses.
God. Theboxsetpod.com/tees. I promise you'll find something there that you like. It's great. Great. Keep finding new designs. Jamie, what's your rating?
Yeah, I started at a 7. I ended at a 7.5.
Okay, we're all around. We're all on 7.5. Nice place.
No, you're on a 9. You just said it.
Yep. 9. I'm on a 9. Okay.
Honestly, you have the memory of a gypsy moth.
That's right. Can you tell me, moth?
Yeah. Can you tell me which episode of The West Wing that's from?
You have the memory of a gypsy moth.
If you have the memory of a gypsy moth.
No, I can't.
No,
no. Thus proving
I can't. There's too many.
Call yourself a fan.
Which one is it?
It's from Isaac and Ishmael. Can you tell me which episode that is?
Well, it's a special
season
episode.
Season 3, episode 1, isn't it? Then or episode.
Correct. Season 3. It's actually episode 0. But
yeah.
There you go. Well. Thanks for joining us. You can always email us, studio@theboxsetpod.com, and make any comment you like. It's good night from Matthew in London.
Sorry for any strange noises in the last 30 seconds. I popped a bit of cheese into my mouth.
Good night from Jamie in Eccleston.
Sorry for the mute thing with the phone.
And it's good night from me, otherwise known as Jeff from Seattle.
Oh, it is you,
good
isn't
night.
It? What a douchebag.
Rock and roll.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
but God. I said that.
Yeah.
We didn't call it.
Who emails us? Jeff from Seattle. No one in Seattle is called Jeff, you idiots.
Oh, dear.
Wow. What an amazing prank.
Yeah, you really psyched us, Howell.
What a huckster.
Great story.
It's like Ocean's 14.
Do you know what? Originally, I just wrote the reviews down, and then I thought, there's no way they'll actually sit and listen through these reviews unless I pretend it's someone else saying it.
And the first thing I said when you announced it was a review.
Rewritten this. Yeah. But we will say that when you both did believe it was Jeff from Seattle, you were incredibly rude to Jeffs and Seattle's. So anyone from Seattle...
It's because he talked the same amount of shit as you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.